And it's not very often. I'm usually down there simply because I came up at the wrong time. I get to see the joy on your faces, which was such an encouragement, which I think maybe we should be facing each other a little more when we're singing, because that's part of the beauty of worship as we glory in what God has done. And we see the beauty of God working in each other's life as we worship Him and honor Him. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to, as we looked at Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what we're going to look at today. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8, which gives us an in-depth description of what love is. And if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in front of you in the chairs. If you don't have one of your own, feel free to take those home with you. But we're on page 975 in those Bibles if you would like to follow along with that. So in our text today, we're talking about the power of the Spirit at work in our lives as believers. He's leading us more and more and more towards this restoration, towards love, towards unity with other believers. And God's power is at work in our lives, but we have to have that submissive, willing heart to be led by the Spirit, as we talked about in the last several weeks. Those who choose to do so will experience a vitality in real life and a growth and a heart to be led by God like never before. And so if we are a true believer, this power is already working in us to change us, to put God's love within us. And this love that we're going to talk about today is not something that we can do on our own. It's God's love, and we're encouraged to live in that kind of love now. Now, as we talk about this love today, I want to look at some verses about God's love. Love is central to everything that we do and say as believers. And in 1 Corinthians 13, he opens up with this phrase, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong and cymbal." So imagine if through the rest of the services, you didn't know that I was a musician, did you? Going to be in the video at the beginning, right? Religion. It's like a noisy, annoying gong. Please make it stop. Somebody make it stop. Somebody come take this away from me, please. Somebody come take this away from me, please. I can't get it out of my hands. Thank you. So we know the power of this love. That is what all of our religious works are like without love. Annoying, empty symbol. Now, Jesus talks about love. He says, they asked him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is great in the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I'm still hearing that in my mind right now. John 13, he says, "The new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." First John chapter 4. That's a lot of love in a few verses here. He says, "Let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God." It's clearly exemplified in the video today. Empty religion, there is no love. Even though the religious books talk about peace and tranquility and love, there is no love without being born again. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And you get the picture there. Romans 12:9-10, it says, "Let your love be real," or genuine. "Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." That's a powerful verse on love. Oh, there's one more. 1 Peter 4. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So that tells me that we're messy people, and we have lots of sins surrounding us, and so we need a whole lot of love, especially in a church body, for one another to be able to live. You see, love is not just a feeling without a moral compass. Since God is love, He defines what real love is. And so love is not tolerance of everything, but it's tempered by the very holiness of God. Love is not combative or destructive either, but it is fueled from God's very throne room of grace. So you see the grace and the holiness working together through love. Love does not contradict God's holiness or His grace. And so we need to dive into this today and explore what this love is. First of all, when he talks about the word love, it's agape love, as I mentioned earlier and read that passage of Scripture on purpose, is that it literally means affection or goodwill or benevolence. And it has its origin in the love feast. And it literally means love feast. And so when the early church would come together for the Lord's Supper, it was a feast of charity. It was supposed to be a place where everybody shared and everybody was focused on the Lord, but not so with the Corinthian church. And so they had a problem with love. This love is given out of affection and goodwill, or you might say sacrificially, without expecting anything in return. Love is not a trading transaction, but a gift. Now, I can't help but think in all of our relationships, whether it's our friendships, our brothers and sisters at church, our families, our husbands and wives, a lot of times we slip into that mode, well, if I do this for my wife, then maybe she'll do this for me. Love is not a transaction or a trade. It's simply giving it for free, without expecting anything in return, which is exemplified through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so as we go into this, I want to read that verse again. I'm glad somebody took my pen away because I could get it back out as I read this. But he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And that word noise is used as the roaring of sea, or you can think of chaotic noise, and that gong is like a brass thing, and it's annoying. How many of your kids get their pots and pans out and you get a headache? Just their mouth is enough, but add to that the pots and pans, it becomes a clanging cymbal. So he's basically saying, if I speak, and when we talk about love, it's what we say, it's what we know, and it's what we do, as we see in this verse. So he's saying, you know, it doesn't matter what you say. And these people were bragging because they spoke in tongues. They had these spiritual heavenly experiences, but it was without love. And that's strange if it would come from God, right? And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith. So all spiritual works without love is rendered one annoying, empty, and meaningless. So what makes you and me annoying is when we do spiritual works without love. Now, let's bring this back into the context of Galatians, which Galatians speaks against legalism or trying to earn our way into God's heaven or God's favor. And sometimes we slip into that, even what we do. Well, I got to go do these things. I got to collect these things. I got to work hard for God so that God will somehow be pleased with me. And I will be happy that I'm just doing these all these great things for God. This flies in the face of that. He says it's annoying, empty, and meaningless if it's not done out of a heart of love. And then he says, if I have all knowledge, and he talks about just regular knowledge that we have by smart, intelligent people or people that think that they know it all. And he said these people even had the gift of prophecy, which they were had divine inspiration, and they understood the prophecies, and they understood the mysteries of God. They were pretty smart people, but he said, you're nothing if you don't have love. You can know it all. You can study the Bible backwards and memorize it just as that Buddhist kid was memorizing everything. But if it was without love, we're still nothing. You see, love brings meaning to our lives. And then he goes on to say, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. That's a wasted martyr's death if it's not done out of love. Now back up in verse 31 of chapter 12, he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. They were having problems in the Corinthian church with spiritual gifts and try to one-up people. They were envious of one another. And he says, I'm going to show you what the essence and the real meaning of life is love. In that word, now let's go to verse 3. So we could have a strong conviction and belief, but it renders us still as nothing. We could do miracles. We could have such strong conviction about something. I believe this so much to be true, and maybe it is true. But if it was without love, might as well burn in a pile of trash. He says, you're nothing. Generous sacrifice without love gains us nothing. Look in verse 4. He says, in verse 3, the end of it, he says, if I deliver my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. We could be so generous and sacrifice, but do it without love. We can give to others, but do it without love. We can be on the outside generous people, but if we do it without love, it says we gain nothing. So that word give away is an interesting word. So he says, if I give away my body, that's to feed by putting a bit or a crumb of food into a mouth. It's very meticulous. It's to feed, to nourish. And so if I am just constantly doing these little things and I'm delivered or given into the hands of another, I gain nothing. See, love gives meaning to what we say, whether it's all spiritual mysteries, what we think, and what we do. I love this quote by a psychotherapist by the name of James Olthius. He says, loving is not merely one thing among others that we're called to do. Love is not an additive. In other words, not something you just throw in the mix. Loving is of the essence of being human. The connective tissue of reality, the oxygen of life. And I don't know if this guy is a believer or not, but if you would read the Bible, it's like, yeah. All the laws and the commandments hang on this one thing, is loving God and loving others. It is the oxygen of life, for God so loved the world. And so let's take a look at what love is. Now, as we work our way through this text today, we're going to look at what love is. We're going to look at what love is not. And we'll probably have to come to this again next week. We're going to look at what love does. And so let's start our journey here. We have a few minutes this morning. And I know we had a longer time this morning, and what we focused on, I was like, oh no, I was asked to pray. One of the most emotional things for me is to see children who come to Jesus Christ in the face of persecution and follow Jesus. And it really makes me think of all the petty things that I've complained about or thought about or was worried about, or what goes on in our lives is virtually not important compared to the life that these children are giving to Jesus Christ and the joy that they experience. What a remarkable difference. You know, I find that when we... We come before the presence of God and look at this kind of love. Shouldn't it be our highest goal? Shouldn't it be everything that we long for and everything that we want to be? We love Him because He first loved us. This is the gospel. This is Jesus saying, this is the number one priority. This is how people are going to know that you are my disciples. But in thinking about the persecuted church, if you would take video pans, and I've seen videos of their church services, why are the people so happy? When everything's being taken away from them and they're being threatened every day. Because they found love. Or love, let me rephrase that, love found them. Love captured their lives. So I want to do two things before we leave today. Let's look at, and this gets us started in this journey of what love is. He says, love, in verse 4, is patient. He qualifies this love as this. And that means to be of long spirit, to not lose heart, to persevere patiently, bravely, in enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. Wow. That one hurts. To be mild and slow in avenging. To be long-suffering, to be slow to anger, slow to punish. Well, they said this and did this to me. I'm going to show them. But he says, love is patient. Slow to avenge. Slow to take action. Well, I'll just embarrass myself today. I got a dining room table from my grandmother's estate. The table that we had our joyful meals at Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas. So I had to have it because it represents big joy. And so we had to reupholster the chairs. So I spent all day, and many times these things, projects are very difficult for me. Some of you will just do it and 5 minutes. For me, it takes days, these kind of handy projects, but I do them. And I finally got the chairs all ready and found a way to put the cushion in, and then we got the foam, and I cut all the foam out as crooked as it was cut. And then I went to put the material on. I was like, I don't know how to do this. Started stapling it in, and there's rough corners, and I just said, I can't do this. And I got very frustrated because I could not finish my project. And you know what the words of my lovely wife were? Is you just give up way too easily. Love is patient. So that's just an earthly example. But in our love towards other people and what goes on in our life, it is to continue even when you want to give up, even when you get so frustrated, even when you think, I just don't have the capacity to do this anymore. I'm losing my patience with this person, with this situation. Oh, us, when we call upon the name of the Lord, you said that you would birth the fruit of the Spirit in my life. You said it is the fruit of your Spirit, so it's not my fruit, God. So would you work it out in my life and would you help me? I call upon your name for power. Just like the early church called upon God's name when they were being persecuted and they went boldly out and preached, we should call on God's name more for love. God, let me do it. Help me to be able to do it. That's what love is. And he says, not only is it patient, but it's kind. And that's to show oneself mild, or in other words, to be beneficial and useful. Now, remember when I was a kid and we were sitting around and Dad was working, and as kids, sometimes you get lazy, especially when you get into the teenage years. You try to make it look like you're doing something so your parents don't give you something to do, right? And my dad would say, why don't you make yourself useful and go do this, this, and this? But that's what the word kind is. I could show kindness to Tanya and say, you know, I can say, I wanted to buy a Bible because I thought she just had to have this certain Bible. She didn't want it. She told me she didn't want it. And I purchased that and I was like, oh, I was so kind and gave her that Bible. It wasn't what she wanted. It wasn't useful, so I use it. It's useful for me. Kindness is doing something that's useful or beneficial for someone else. That is what love is. It is being mild-mannered. How many, don't raise your hands, have a hard time being mild-mannered when things don't go your way, and especially in your house, in your home? And it's going to get more difficult as we age because we get already at a young age, we get locked into certain ways of doing things, and we have a mindset of what we get up in the morning and we have a plan for everybody else's life in the home and whatever. And we're like, rah, 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 you do that, and you do this. Rah, rah. That's not kindness. So ask God for kindness. Ask God for kindness. What is beneficial for others? That was just as bad as the clanging cymbal, wasn't it? Oh, God, help us. God, help us to see what love is. And then he moved on. One last thing is that what love does not do. You notice that in the text. He says, love is patient, love is kind. And he says, love does not envy or boast. In other words, that's to burn with anger or zeal or hatred, to pursue, to strive after, to become, I would say, use the word obsessed, or it uses in the Greek, busy oneself about, to exert oneself, to be the object of zeal of others, to be zealously sought after. So basically, it is to covet what other people have or do or a talent. They're good at that, at something, or they ticked us off for something, and so we become obsessed with them. And all we want to do is try to go after them. And so we covet them. And so he says, this is what love does not do. This is an example of what love is not. I gave you what it is. It's beneficial forever. Now I'm going to switch to this is what it is not. So I want to encourage you today. We're going to spend some more time in the coming weeks working through love, as I was cut short today. I was excited to get through all this, but not excited because it rips every part of my heart, and it should yours as well. Because this goes to the core of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. He says, they will know you are my disciples by your kindness, by your perseverance, by the fact that you don't envy others. So that's how people are going to know. This is, and remember the fruit of the Spirit, that word fruit is advantage. This is the advantage God has given us to live life successfully on this earth. Because it's the way we were designed. We were designed for love. We're designed to be loving. So I want to invite our worship team to come as we close today. As we think on those few things. And let's look forward to getting into other aspects and traits of love in the coming weeks. But think about that. Begin to pray and begin to ask God, Lord, give me this patience. Give me this kindness so that I can be more like you. I can't make you change. You can't make me change. No matter what you say to me, it's not going to make me more loving. But God can. God can. So would we allow the Spirit of God to invade our hearts with this word this morning? Father, I thank you for not leaving us empty, for giving us this advantage, this love thing that gives us meaning in life. Lord, we